Hey everyone, this is Day 9, and I'm going to talk a little bit about defeating a Terran mech as a Zerg player. So ever since Fantasy did his cute mech shit against GG play, all anyone wants to do is mech. And that's fine, mech's cool, it's the current trend of the moment. It was never weak or strong, it's just an alternative type of play. But the problem is that in the strategy forums, and even when I watch the professionals play, I want to vomit. Right? I feel like so much of the advice and the current like ideas of how to play against mech is just totally wrong. Now, I'm a little unusual in that I have been around forever. I've been playing competitively for 10 years. And there was a period way back when mech was just as popular as it is now. And it gave me the opportunity to spend a lot of time practicing against and thinking about the dynamics of a mech play. So I want to share a little bit with you guys about my experience against mech and what I feel is the correct way to think about and counteract a good Terran mech player. So first, let's talk about the strengths and weaknesses of a mech. Then let's analyze what's wrong with current thought and play. And then I'll give some more concrete tips at the end and even sort of a loose build that you guys can play around with and do whatever the fuck you want. So let's dive right in and talk about the three major strengths and weaknesses of mech, in my opinion. Number one, mech is good with big one-punch style pushes. Number two, mech is great at holding territory and playing defensively. Number three, mech is great at fucking with the Zerg early game. Let's go ahead and talk about those three concepts in depth. So first, I'll talk about this sort of one-punch style army thing that I mentioned. This idea is that in small numbers, Zerg has an advantage over a mech army. In medium-sized numbers, they're fairly even, but once you start talking about big, large armies, the mech army is way better than whatever Zerg can throw at it. So the way this manifests itself in games is that Terrans will much often favor a timing push that is significantly later in the game, because early game pushes are just so dangerous. In fact, it's a bad idea oftentimes to be too aggressive early on as a meching Terran player. So number two, holding territory and playing defensively. With siege tanks and mines and Goliaths, you can set yourself up and plant yourself and be almost impenetrable. A great example of this, well actually two examples of this, is Intermind against Foo. Against S2 Foo on the December 15th Pro League. You should watch that game. That's a great example of how Mind is able to just play defensively and hold the line in a way a Medic Marine can't. Another great example of this is Flash against Savior on Bek Magoji, way back when, I think it was in the GOM TV Classic. Flash just had so much stuff that when Savior attacked with like Infinity Ultralisks, they immediately evaporated and Flash was sitting there fist pumping like a 15-year-old. So, yeah. And the third thing is that mech is very good at screwing with a Zerg player early on. This is because they don't need that barracks, so they can do sorts of proxy barracks openings that don't really screw with the later stages of their mech build. And because vultures are just so fucking obnoxious, they plant mines and dart around with drones and whatnot. So, yeah, that is what a mech is good at. And I'll constantly be coming back and referring to these things through the rest of this little rant thing. Now let's think about what mech is bad at. And in order, the three weaknesses, in my opinion, that mech have are, one, mech has a huge problem with mobility. The second big problem is that mech is not very good at applying pressure throughout the game. And the third thing, that's kind of an extension of the first two, is that mech play has a weak mid-game. So now let's talk about those in depth. In terms of mobility, Terran players oftentimes need to plant mines, but even if the Terran player is not going, not making many vultures, those tanks need to be sieged to maximize damage. So it's very difficult for a Terran player to dart this way and dart that way in the fashion Medic Marine does. And again, this is somewhat of an extension of the big push notion. The Terran player can't really do these sorts of ninja-like things where it breaks its army into small pieces and splits up, because in small numbers, Zerg is better against mech in small numbers. So, Terran players suffer from a huge lack of mobility. The second thing is this applying pressure. Again, same theme. Zerg or Terran player cannot break his army up and do whatever. So in general, the way that mech players win is by doing these huge pushes. And yeah, there's Vulture Harass in the mid game, but I'll talk about how to negate that later. And then, again, the third thing is a weak mid-game. That is the point in time where a Zerg player really needs to attack. The Terran player must play defensively in the mid-game because it can't push. If it does Vulture Harass, it gets completely crushed by Hydralisks. And this really is the point where Zerg can take a lot of expansions and win economically. So, to recap, a meching Terran player is very slow but extremely strong. So a Zerg player cannot win by being cute. The Zerg player can't win with three lurkers and a dark swarm and feel clever. The Zerg player needs to win by having a lot of shit. And the way the Zerg does that is by creating a powerful economy by exploiting the Terran's mid-game immobility. Now, before I talk about good ways to deal with mech, I have to point out what is so bad about current theory and thought against mech. And I can sum it up with the following. People play against mech the way they play against a medic marine Terran. You just can't do that. And for some reason, people think that you play a certain way against Terran, and it doesn't matter what Terran does. But a meching Terran player, you should treat as a completely different matchup. So let me list some things that are bad that you should not do. And yeah, there's obvious exceptions, but on the whole, you should not do the following things. Don't go for a really fast Mutalisk Harass. I see a lot of players think that they're so clever by going 3 hatch, getting their Spire and their 9 Mutalisk, and they go in to kill off some SCVs. But the problem is, that doesn't work against Goliaths. Against Medic Marine, it's great because the Medic Marines sometimes get isolated from each other and you can pick off Medic Marine, and then the SCVs can be taken out because the range upgrade is delayed and blah blah blah. But against Goliaths, Goliaths have like infinite range and do a fuck ton of damage against air, so when you run in feeling so fucking clever, you leave with a bunch of dead Mutalisks and the rest are in red health. And that effectively gives you no advantage. It is very difficult to abuse a Terran player with really aggressive harass. I mean, yeah, if you know you can kill off an SCV, do it, but don't make the foundation of your gameplay about getting advantage with fast harassment, because it will not happen. Number 2, do not rely on lurkers against a meching Terran player. Against Medic Marine, lurkers make perfect sense, because like 6 lurkers can kill off infinity Medic Marine. I mean, you only need 2 lurkers to defend an entire expansion against Terran in the mid-game. And again, a major purpose of lurkers is for getting a little bit of map control against a Terran player in the mid-game, because he doesn't have detection. Against a meching player, meching players are immobile already in the mid-game. They're not trying to attack in the mid-game. They're going to wait until the later stages of the game, where not only will they have detection, but they'll have an army that completely kills the shit out of your lurkers. They have tanks and Goliaths, which take many hits from lurkers and have extremely long range. So the fact that the lurker attack stacks is completely meaningless. In fact, if you pull out a spreadsheet, you'll find that lurkers are actually incredibly cost ineffective at killing tanks when compared to Zerglings and lurkers and this sort of thing. Number 3, do not rely on defilers to beat a mech player. Now, this argument is a little tricky, but it's absolutely crucial that you understand this, or else it will cripple your play against a mech player. Let's think about defilers against Medic Marine. Defilers make perfect sense because your lurkers that were oh so good in the mid game are now in serious danger with vessels and tanks. But hey, don't worry, I can throw down some dark swarms and now I am totally safe against the Medic Marine army. Now, against mech, it's not that defilers are bad. It's that defilers are significantly worse against mech when compared to Medic Marine. Picture yourself getting ready to attack a Terran army. It's spread out with tanks. I mean, the units are physically big, so even when they are as clustered as they can be, they're still fairly spread out. When the Terran has all his tank siege, and occasionally he'll have mines there too, your army gets eaten alive by the tank fire because of the splash damage. Even if you do have Dark Swarm, You're dealing with, you know, 15 to 25 tanks against mech. You're not dealing with, you know, the 3 or 4 tanks when you're playing against a regular Medic Marine Terran. So you just need to have a lot of units you can't rely on the Dark Swarm. I mean, it is good. It might be the, you know, the thing that tips the balance in your favor in a big battle, but you can't lock yourself into that mindset of, okay, I have my hive, I need to get those defilers so I can stay alive. That's the mindset that you have against a medic marine player, not the mindset you should have against a meching Terran player. The last thing I want to talk about is the Ultralisk. Ultralisks are great against medic marine because it minimizes the damage that they take. I mean, because the Ultralisk armor is so high, each individual shot from a marine hardly does anything. The problem is, against mech, it is the exact opposite. Ultralisks maximize the damage that a tank does. When a tank fires at a Zergling, it can do at most 35 damage, because the Zergling has 35 life. Against an Ultralisk, the tank does the full 70 damage, not including upgrades. And then once you've thrown mine and splash damage in there, Ultralisks get eaten alive by a mech army. For an example, watch Savior vs. Flash on Bek Magogi. You will laugh at how many Ultralisks Savior lost at the end of that game. Now, I actually pulled out a spreadsheet and did a calculation on this about Ultralisk Zergling against mech. Now, I did this like many years ago, so I don't remember the exact results, but it's shocking how ineffective Ultralisk Ling is against mech in terms of damage taken versus damage dealt. A much better spending of your money is on just lots of simple ground units, like Zerglings and Hydralisks. Those are going to be like the core of your army. Because again, against mech, you're not trying to make a cute army of Defilers and Lurkers and Ultralisks later on. You just want an army that is a lot of shit. And part of the reason I think that Ultralisk Zergling is so popular is that players will develop an enormous economic advantage in the mid-game, correctly so, and at that point it hardly matters what the Zerg does in terms of unit combination. Ultralisk Ling just happens to be what the player does to win, so he incorrectly learns that Ultralisk Ling is the proper counter, when it is in fact not. Again, all of what I've been talking about, this whole medic marine mindset, it's all just ways of saying that the Zerg is not taking advantage of the fundamental weakness of a meching player, and that is the mid-game immobility. Zerg player needs to establish an extremely strong economy then, and then crush the Terran in the later stages of the game, when Terran is trying to do that big one-punch push. Okay, great. Now that I've said all that stuff, I want to give a few general tips of how to deal with a meching player. And then I'll finish things up with a build that I've done that's extremely effective. And you guys can play around with it and do whatever. It's just a good solid base. First thing, Hydralisk Ling should be the bulk of your ground army. That minimizes the amount of damage that your army is taking, as well as maximizing the damage output that your army is doing. In addition to that, you need to continue to make a lot of Mutalisks all game long as just an important part of your army. It's not going to be a big component of harassment. It's just really key to make sure that the Terran player is continuing to make lots of Goliaths. And plus, when you expand as much as you end up doing against mech, you can build up a very large Mutalisk army anyways. You'll have like two control groups of Mutalisks in addition to your big-ass ground army. And that is really what you want to be looking for. Now, in terms of transitioning, when you get that hive tech up, an excellent method for busting a stationary push, or just, you know, a Terran line that's just sitting defensively and holding a whole bunch of expansions, a great way to bust that when you get the hive tech is to get Guardians. You can get 15 to 20 Guardians without much difficulty. Because again, you're delaying your hive tech by opting to expand much more in the mid-game. So by the time you get Hive, you have a really strong economy and a ton of Mutalisks already. And that is what's going to really help you bust that push, because they have equal range to Goliaths, and they can break the tank lines really well for your ground army. In terms of Defilers, Defilers should be the latest evolution of your play. It should be the last thing you transition to and incorporate into your army. Because again, just having the units is the most important thing, and having the expansions. Once you get a Defiler, it will always help your army some, but you want to make sure that that army is substantial enough. And in terms of Ultralisks, you've already heard my thoughts on that. I wouldn't recommend playing with it unless you're really comfortable with your play, because frankly, Ultralisks are very difficult and technical to use in that matchup. And finally, the most important tip that I can give against a mecking player is that minerals are more important than gas. When you get an expansion, don't make that first drone make a geyser. The bulk of your army is going to be Zerglings, Hydralisks, and Mutalisks, and you're going to want to be expanding lots and lots. Gas is not important in any of those, and minerals are critical. What's also great about the fact that minerals are the key resource that you need, it opens up the potential for taking a lot of mineral naturals that a lot of players just seem not to have been considering against a mech player. So yes, again, minerals are the key resource. So let me finish things up with a really strong build order that's brought me a huge amount of success through the years. I don't know if people think about builds the same way I do, so hopefully I make sense. But on the same note, I'm trying to make a video series about how to construct a build from scratch. And please keep pressuring me to work on that because I need motivation. So yeah, here's my build. So as a Zerg player, you 12 hatchet your expansion, you open up completely normally, and your basic opening is just the 3 hatch opening. Now, if your opponent bunker rushes, you just need to be able to deal with that. You should also be checking up on your Terran, because there's 3 basic things that a Terran player can do early on. Going 2 barracks, early expanding, and then getting fast gas. You need to find out pretty early on if he's going fast gas, because that's where the deviation occurs. You start off with the 3 hatch, because if he's going medic marine, you deal with that accordingly. And if you see him going mech, you veer off and do the build that I'm going to say right now. So if he's going a fast gas, the things that we need to worry about are some sort of gentle early harass with vultures, like a hidden 1 factory, or there's a 2 factory aggressive play, or there's 2 port wraith. Those are the 3 big things. 1 factory, 2 factory, or 2 port wraith. This is the build I recommend. You gas on 18, and you have 3 hatches at this point. You gas on 18, making overlords at appropriate times. With your first 50 gas, you get a Hydralisk Den before your lair, and then you get speed for Hydralisks before your lair. And you're going to be making between 6 and 10 Hydralisks. And you're also going to be getting your second gas at an appropriate time. Not too fast, but when you fiddle with this build, you'll feel about when it feels right. And also have your overlords clustered in your base in a way that your Hydralisks are ready to defend against 2 port wraith, but also so that those overlords are ready to start wandering out into the middle of the map, because you need them as spotters against mines. Okay, great. The reason this build is doing so well for us right now is we've negated those 3 big things, the 1 factory harass, 2 factory harass, and the 2 port wraith. And for everything else Terran does, we're still okay. Anything else Terran does is like a fast dropship or some sort of fast academy build. And when we have speed Hydralisks, we can still deal with that because they don't have tons of medic marine. In other words, we're not dead yet. There's nothing that we're facing that has killed us or has some sort of huge advantage. I'm not going to talk about how to deal with 2-port wraith because, again, the focus of this is dealing with mech. I'm just saying that those initial variations to let you know that you are still okay against those things with this opening. Now, at this point, you'll be fairly certain that your opponent is doing some type of mech build. He's planted mines in the middle of the map, say. If he went 2 factory aggressive, you see a lot of mech units. And at this point, Terran is focusing on trying to get that expansion up. As a sample map, let's say we're playing on destination, and we are at the north position. We have those Mutalisks at our we have those overlords at our natural, ready to slide to the right expansion and ready to slide out our front ramps to spot those mines. Now, in this build, we've made 6 to 8 Hydralisks. We have speed. Do not get range with the next 150 gas. Get a layer and start planning on expanding. Your whole goal for the mid game is to have four or five Hydras move out to an expansion and just sit to defend. You have another four or five Hydralisks at your front and in your main to just sit and defend. And then you're going to start expanding while getting Mutalisks at the same time. And this is really key, and sending overlords to locations where you want to expand because you need to clear out those mines. Now, when that layer finishes, we're going to be going for a spire. And at this point, you're wondering, we're going for a spire and we have like 8 to 10 Hydralisks or whatever. What do we do with the rest of our larva? Well, you're powering drones like crazy. Because you're not worried about an early Terran push. He can't really push aggressively early on. So you're making tons of drones, you're taking one expansion at the right that's defended by those Hydralisks, and you're on your way to getting Mutalisks. When those Mutalisks pop out, they're great because they force the Terran to delay his push a little bit, which extends the Zerg's mid-game advantage. Those Mutalisks pop out, the Terran player has to stop making tanks, stop making vultures, and begin pumping out Goliaths. Now, you don't want to do aggressive harass, but you want to be in his face just enough to let him know that you have a lot of Mutalisks. You only need to make like 9 to 12 at this point, and at this point you can start expanding to the top right natural and the left natural, and you've already, the left natural, and you've already been making a whole ton of drones and expanding a lot. And you can begin throwing down more hatcheries and some evolution chambers. And at this point, you just start making tons of Zerglings and Hydralisks, favoring Hydralisks initially. Don't start making a lot of Zerglings early on, because that's a little weak. You want to start with a lot of Hydralisks, and then you can add on Zerglings and hatcheries at the same time. And what ends up happening is, as the mid-game progresses, he's forced to delay his push. And when he does come out, you have an absurd number of expansions. You have your main, your nat, the right natural, the left natural, and the top right corner. And you can back upgrade. You can get the Hydralisk range, the metabolic boost for Zerglings, and Overlord sight range if you want, and just begin spreading around the map. And you will be surprised at how easy it is to have total map control and a raging economy, and you still have a lair. You can start teching towards that queen's nest after a little bit, but again, the emphasis of your play is going to be adding hatcheries, both as production units and at expansions, and then for the rest of the game, you'll just have this amazing advantage. Now, against a really good player, it's going to be difficult to make that advantage very large, so I do need to talk a little bit about later game transitioning. As you get your hive up, it's a great idea to get Guardians, but the most important upgrade for Hive is the Adrenal Boost for the Zerglings, because now you have a bunch of Cracklings that are really cheap in absurd numbers against lots of tanks, lots of Goliaths, because you've still been making those Mutalisks, and a handful of Vultures. The Mutalisks actually help the cut down on the Vulture count tremendously, so that's really great. So yeah, and the rest of the game is fairly straightforward. If you're having a lot of trouble in the later stages of the game, it's a good sign that you did something wrong in the mid-game, or that you're going Ultraless Zergling, which I told you not to do. So, yeah, I hope that this rambling was useful to some people, because I would have made a post, but I don't like writing as much as I like hearing myself talk. So, yeah, Merry Christmas, Team Liquid. Cheers.